We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky, and I'm coming to you from my home in Northfield, Minnesota. And I have with me this morning
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, coming to you from beautiful Ascension Lutheran Church in picturesque South St. Louis, where I serve as pastor.
And how are the Friday night concerts going, Matt?
They're Saturday night concerts, John, but they are going great.
You know what? I've been over there. I thought, well, that guy, he said there were concerts going on and there was nothing.
There's no one here.
It's Saturday night. Oh, wow. That explains everything.
No. But thanks for asking, John. Yes, they are going great. We had to move the first one inside due to rain that was kind of off and on. But since then, the weather's been pretty decent. I know this Saturday they're predicting like 100 degrees here in St. Louis.
My, yeah,
we're
yeah,
not in Minnesota, that. John. We're in St. Louis. But they've been going well. We've got a big band this Saturday. So if you're listening, let's see. What is this Saturday? It's going to be the 22nd. If you're listening on the 22nd, yeah. There'll be a big band here. And we invite you to come out. 7 o'clock start time.
Yeah, I saw that you guys had 96 degrees on Father's Day. So I kind of figured you've been getting the heat, but we've been getting the rain. It's just been rain, go away.
Okay.
Before we begin, though, you know, every once in a while, I'd like to share some really personal concerns I have, kind of editorial comments. And I know we've been doing some stupid jokes, but if people don't mind, I would like to do something a little more serious to begin this morning's episode. Or afternoon or evening, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. But I was meeting with one of my good friends, Kevin Bonin. Kevin Bonin I went to school with him at Concordia St. Paul. We've known each other for years. And so we were talking and reflecting on what's going wrong with our nation. There's just so much tension and so much rivalry, and people are protesting, and there just seems like there's so much anger. These divisions in our country, haven't you noticed that too, Matt?
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, how can you not notice? Yeah, for instance, very polarized, right?
Polarized, thank you. That's exactly the word that I would have used if I was that smart. And it's even worse here as we get into this whole election year. You know, it's just going to get worse. And Kevin remarked that the problem is we've gotten away from the values that Kevin and I grew up with. And I said, what do you mean, Kevin? He says, apathy. Apathy. So that's when we were younger, it was all about apathy. And we need a little more apathy today. So, Kevin, thank you for reminding us that we just need to go back to the way it was when we were younger, when people were just apathetic, and then we didn't have all of this trouble.
There you go. John, you should run for president. Your main platform could just be, I'm apathetic. I really don't care.
That's right. Well, I even have a name for the party. We would be the apathetic credit publicans. Let me see if I can say that. The apathetic publicans. I got to work on the name, but I was thinking that maybe I should throw my hat into the ring for a third party candidate.
Yes.
The apathy party.
Yeah.
Thank you for that suggestion.
You might need to workshop the name a little bit, but I think you might be onto something. You know,
it was really great.
Yeah. Not an elephant, not a donkey. Maybe just like a tree sloth could be your.
That would be the perfect. Yes. The sloth would be our animal. All right. Well, enough of that. People are probably going, maybe you need to go back to the dumb jokes.
You know, things are bad when people are pining for the dumb jokes.
But on the other hand, this is a great summer because this is the summer of Mark. And we're going to do another gospel from Mark today, another story. But before we do that, I would like to go back to last week's story. I do want to make a serious comment here, not making fun, but what we want to do on Wrestling with the Basics, I hope that at the end of every episode, people know that Jesus loves them. And that seems so fundamental, but that really is what the whole of Christianity is about. Think about the creed, Matt. We have a God the Father who gives us everything we need for our body and life in this world, and does so purely out of fatherly goodness, divine mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. See, it's just his gift. And then we've got Jesus, who actually suffers and dies with his own flesh and blood. We don't deserve it. We're sinners. That's why he's dying, so that our sins could be paid for again, just as a free gift. And even with the Holy Spirit, we cannot believe by our own reason or strength we come to the Lord Jesus. And yet the Holy Spirit, then he just says, well, okay, I'll come and I'll call you by the gospel. I'll enlighten you and keep you in the faith. See? And so people, as long as when you're done with the show, that's what you know, that's the kind of God we have. And the thing that Matt and I have discovered over the years is that God is found in so many ways, you just can't number them. In fact, how many years have you been in the ministry now, Matt?
Oh, let's see, John. I think it's going on 17.
Okay.
I'm counting it out right. Yeah.
Well, so I was in the ministry for 40, and you'll find that it never changes. Every time you go back to the Bible, well, there's more gospel there. Well, I didn't see, how did I not see that gospel there? So this is actually what happened last week. We were doing the story of Jesus talking about that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. And for me, the gospel I found there was the fact that he's the Lord. Because the Lord in the Bible is not the guy that bosses you around. He's not your manager. He's not your foreman. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my life and salvation. And he's the guy there who makes sure that every day you know that goodness and mercy are following you and will continue to follow you until you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, the house of the Lord. And yet you went to that same text and you found another beautiful gospel. We were sharing this after last week's recording. So Matt, why don't you share with the people where you found the gospel in the Lord of the Sabbath?
Yeah, thanks, John, for teeing that up. That's good. Yeah, exactly. God loves us, and so he gives us Sabbath rest. And so when we think of that title, Lord of the Sabbath, yeah, the gospel there, Jesus is Lord, like you said. But then I think also the gospel here in that Jesus is also the Sabbath, right? He's Lord of the Sabbath. So I wanted to focus just a little bit on that word Sabbath and just a recognition that Jesus is our Sabbath. And so if we're looking for that Sabbath rest, it's found in Jesus Christ. So this gift that God gives to remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. How do we do that? Since Jesus is our Sabbath rest, if we want to receive that great gift of rest, then we come where Jesus is found, right? If he's our Sabbath rest, then to truly have rest, we come to where Jesus is found. And so where is Jesus found? Well, he's found in his holy word. Even as you're on Rest of the Basics, studying the word of the Lord, here is Jesus. Christian community, right? That's no small thing. And in this new world, shaped by COVID, when there's online worship, and those are great gifts, we never, ever want to discount coming together in Christian community because Jesus is found there. That's what he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. We come, you know, we hear the gospel message, right? That Jesus crucified and risen from the dead. Jesus is found in that message. The bread and wine, the body and blood of Holy Communion, Jesus is found there. So come, if you want rest, to where Jesus is found. And I think that also just is a reminder, too, that it's not just about resting on the Sabbath day. It's not like the gift of the Sabbath day is just so that you can stream Netflix from your couch, you know, for 8 hours. No, that's not the kind of Sabbath rest God's talking about. It's a gift of rest, but again, Jesus is Lord of that rest, Lord of that Sabbath, true rest, true Sabbath that's found in Jesus Christ himself. So come to where Jesus is found. And, you know, I would say, in God's word, in worship, in Christian community, that's where you're going to find Jesus because that's where he promises to be found.
And the really cool thing is when you come to the Lord in the Sabbath, he doesn't ask anything of you. We're back to the creed again. He just wants to give you stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if your conscience is bothering, he wants to assure you that he has forgiven you. If you're worried about the future, he wants you to remember that he has the future in his hand, and he wants only what is good for us. And in fact, whatever is troubling you, the Lord will take it, and the Lord will just remind you that, again, he is your shepherd, and he's going to be with you every day of your life. Even if you go through the valley of the shadow of death, he's there to protect you.
Yeah. Yeah. Martin Luther wrote a hymn about the Ten Commandments. These are the Holy Ten Commands. It's like 12 or 13 verses long. But the ones, there's a stanza about each of the commandments, and the stanza about the Sabbath, it picks up on exactly that, John, that God is giving a gift here. It's his work in us, like you just said. So that stanza about the Sabbath says, "You shall observe the worship day that peace may fill your home and pray." And I really like this next line, "and put aside the work you do so that God may work in you." So we rest, we put aside the work that we do, the daily grind, all of those things on our to-do list, put that aside for at least for a time so that God might work in us. Again, a gift from him, his work in us. Come where Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, is found, he will work in you. And I think it's a recognition that, yeah, everything else will get done. Life will be taken care of. I'm not God. I am not all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful. There's only one God, one Lord of the Sabbath, and it's not me. So rest, trust it'll get done. Rest so that God can give a gift. Rest so he can work in us.
So thank you, Matt. So again, I think that's a good example of how you can come to it, and it's just full of gospel. It's the gospel that he's the Lord. It's also the gospel that he is our Sabbath. Although I would put in this plug, we come to him and say, what do we need to do? And he says, well, that's the thing. You don't need to do anything except just rest. I've done it all.
Yeah.
And then we turn around and we leave the church and we say, oh, there's a guy that's hungry. Well, I guess he needs food. Or there's a person who's thirsty. Well, I guess they need drink. Oh, look, there's somebody that needs clothing. So we'll clothe them. But see, we don't do it because it's something we got to do to get God to love us. No, we do it because, oh, well, that's taken care of. We don't need to do a thing about that. On the other hand, these people have some needs, and hey, I think I can help out with that too. So yeah, we love as he first loved us.
Definitely. And you know, we're having rested and having been strengthened, having been forgiven, we're equipped to do that, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think if we're just on this treadmill that never stops, that we're just exhausted mentally, physically, spiritually, dried up, exhausted, and then we're not able to serve our neighbor. We're not able to feed the hungry. We're not able to show love to others or witness to others. But if we rest, if we're rejuvenated, if we're forgiven, Christ has worked in us, well, yeah, now we're strengthened to go out, empowered to go out, to be those witnesses, to be someone who can love their neighbor.
So it always reminded me of one of the great things of the gospel right there in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. See, in our world, we always begin by working and then we rest. Like, that's our mentality. You got to do your work. Okay, now you've done your work. Now you can go rest. But isn't it interesting that in Genesis, it always starts with a rest. It's an evening and a morning the first day. So in God's mindset, no, what you need to do is rest first. Take the evening in, put your feet up, get a little sleep. And then, yeah, the morning comes and there's stuff to do. But I thought that's cool. Right there from the beginning, God says, you got your priorities all messed up. Evening first, then morning. Yeah, rest and then work. So we want to talk about another chapter now where Mark, that is from the Gospel of Mark. That's what I meant to say, from the Gospel of Mark, where Matt and I actually came up with a little different emphasis. But again, it just shows that there's just so much gospel there. There's plenty of gospel to go around. We want to do Mark chapter 3. Do you know where it starts, the actual section that we want to talk about?
Yeah, so Mark 3, beginning with verse 20.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So how should we do this, Matt? Because I know both of us have a little different emphasis. When you did it, what particular part of the text?
So I did the first part of the text.
Okay, let's do that. We'll just start with the, since that is the first, we'll begin with that. And
yeah.
Then
good.
We'll move on. So, where, how much do you want me to read here, Matt?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I just to give our listeners a heads up, I think we're going to deal with two things that are kind of head scratchers in this text. The first one is, this is really the one place
where... Be careful,
Matt,
because you're bald. I know that. So when you scratch your head, you have to be really, really careful.
Thanks, John. I appreciate the warning.
And that's intentional baldness, isn't it, Matt? I think you actually
shaved your head. I don't know about that.
You don't know at this point, do you? Couldn't tell anymore, could you? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Matt.
Boy. No, I think I'd be bald whether I shave my head or not, John. Okay. But anyway, that aside, in the text here, Jesus is thought of as crazy, right?
Yeah.
So his own family calls him crazy. So what is the deal there? That's the head scratcher. What how do we take that? But then I think that even the bigger head scratcher is what you're going to try to tackle, and we'll tackle together, is this whole part about sinning against the Holy Spirit and this unforgivable sin, it seems. And what's the deal with that, boy? And if I committed that, right? So I think a couple of important things in this text we want to talk about that really probably aren't that obvious on the surface, but yeah, let's unpack that and work through that together.
And I'll just put in a little plug for what we're going to talk about, and whether we'll get it done today or whether it'll be next weekend. The fact that this is a really scary passage, because yes, we have the blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, the eternal sin, and yet in this text, I would argue, is probably one of the finest statements of God's love. I think it almost surpasses John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's not a competition. We're not asking people to vote on what they think is the best gospel passage. But trust me, it's just a tremendous statement of the love of God. But let's talk about Jesus being crazy first. So,
good. Well, let's dig in. So we're in, if you want to read verse 20 and 21, we'll start there.
Okay. Then he, that's Jesus, went home, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And if you've been reading through the Gospel of Mark, that's the problem. Everyone's coming to see Jesus because everyone he touches, he heals. And when his family heard it, are you going to talk about the word family, Matt, or not?
Sure, we can talk about family.
Well, I'm just wondering, because it actually doesn't say family, does it? It just says his. It's really kind of vague. It's just his people, or it doesn't say, it's just whatever it was of him. But we know from the later part of the text that it was his family, because his mother and his brothers were coming.
Yeah. His mom and brothers are the ones who show up. So it seems as though, this is, it could have included others, but it seems like it at least includes his mother and brothers, his, in the household that he's from.
So the implication there in the Greek is that these are people that at least think they know him really well.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. So this would be distinguished from the crowds that were coming there, the crowd that were gathering, and maybe even his disciples, I would think. I would think that, certainly your parents would think they know you better than the members of your congregation. I'm sure the members of your congregation think they know you well. But again, so it's kind of that sense here in the Greek.
Yeah.
So anyway, and when his family heard it, they went out to seize him. For they were saying, he is out of his mind. Yeah.
Jesus, out of his mind. He's crazy. That's what they're saying about Jesus.
And thank you for pointing that out. I mean, that's what the word in the Greek literally means. It means insane. That's what it means.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. So, okay, so we'll read that, John, but then they're not the only ones that think Jesus is pretty crazy. If you don't mind also reading verse 22, because the Jewish leaders, the scribes, they take it even a step further, perhaps, beyond crazy, if you don't mind reading that next verse.
Well, and before I do that, I could make one more comment. I was really struck by the word they want to seize him, because that is not a nice word. This is not a family intervention. That's the same word that's used when they take Jesus away to crucify him. It implies that we're going to have a forcible removal. I don't know what they did with crazy people back then, but that's kind of the intent. We're going to lock him away in a rubber room with a straitjacket. All right, anyway, but the scribes, right, the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebul. So this is even worse. This is a demon possession, and by the prince of demons, he casts out the demons.
Yeah. So they take even a step further, perhaps. Yeah, they recognize too, what Jesus is saying is doing doesn't seem very rational to us. And they take it a step beyond crazy. They say, well, it's demon possession. That's the problem, right? So, looking, part of the issue is they don't quite understand Jesus' mission, why yeah. he's here, why he's come. You know, one of the examples I used when I talked about this here at Ascension was D-Day. We just celebrated the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and it was good that we marked that anniversary, give thanks to God for those who served on that day, and in World War II, landed on the beaches of Normandy. I mean, just the staggering number, 133,000 wow. troops landed wow. on Normandy Beach just on D-Day. I mean, that's a staggering. That's amazing. Yeah. And just the 7,000 ships and landing craft that were involved. Incredible, incredible operation. And you think, when you think about the sacrifice and everything that was mobilized, I think if you just look at that on the surface, we might think, well, that sounds crazy. That many people, that many ships. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But then when you focus, though, on the mission, you know, why they're doing what they're doing, the job they had to do, well, wow. No, they're far from crazy. They're doing this, I mean, ultimately out of love. I mean, think about it, love for country, love for the people back home, love for freedom, to be willing to take part in this endeavor that on the surface maybe seems crazy. You know, and I think we can apply that to Jesus a little bit, right? That on the surface, boy, some of the things he's doing, saying is crazy. But when we understand Jesus' mission, you know, why he's come and who he is, that ultimately it's out of love, love for us, love for his Father in heaven. Well, then, yeah, no, Jesus isn't crazy. He's come for a great purpose. But you can kind of see why, where they would get that idea. I mean, if you look at the Gospel of Mark, and this is just chapter 3, but leading up to this, I mean, Jesus does some pretty crazy things, you know, unconventional things at least. He fasts for 40 days out in the wilderness. That sounds crazy.
That does sound crazy. I hadn't thought about that, Matt. That is crazy.
Yeah, he calls these guys to be his followers who are fishermen. He says they're going to be fishers of men, whatever that means. Sounds pretty crazy to me. He heals a man who has leprosy, and guess what he does to heal him? He touches him. This guy's leprosy. He touches him. You know, that's crazy. And then you keep reading the Gospel of Mark, and it gets crazier and crazier when he allows himself to be betrayed by one of his very own disciples. Allows himself to be arrested. And then the craziest thing of all, of course, is he allows himself to be nailed to a cross and die a shameful death. So, you know, all of this, you know, it does from the surface. Again, it seems like Jesus is crazy here, off his rocker. But again, when we know Jesus' mission, when he knows why he comes to do these things, you know, again, out of love for us, obedience to his Father, to conquer death, to defeat the devil, well, then maybe Jesus isn't so crazy after all, right? But at this point, his family doesn't realize that, right? They think Jesus perhaps is the oldest son, has responsibility to the home, he needs to come back. Come on back to the carpenter shop in Nazareth, Jesus, because that's where you really belong.
Yeah.
And they've come to seize him and maybe take him away to do just that. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that just struck me, it actually relates to what we were talking about earlier. One of the crazy things he does is he's not showing any respect for the Sabbath.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's especially for the scribes, you know, another reason they say it's the devil, right?
Yeah.
He's in league with Satan. And when you think about it, I mean, is there a worse accusation you can make against someone if you're a Jewish religious leader? This person's in league with Satan. And yet that's what they say of Jesus. So we got people thinking Jesus is crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, you know, what we need to recognize too as Christians is, well, because we're followers of Jesus, guess what? Sometimes people are going to think we're a little crazy. And
the difference is, Matt, the difference is sometimes we are crazy.
Sometimes we are. Sometimes some of us crazier than others, as I think of our congregation. And you and I on Wrestling the Basics, no exception. John, a little crazy. But when you think about it, you know, again, to the world, maybe from the outside looking in, you know, Christians are a little crazy, you know. And when you think about some of the things we do or say or believe, you know, we believe that the Bible, this book, is really God's word come to us.
That's crazy, man.
Cover to cover, that's crazy. We believe that this guy named Jesus 2,000 years ago died on a cross and physically rose from the dead and one day is going to return physically for us.
That's craziness, man.
That's crazy talk, right?
Yeah.
You know, and just other things, too, that you know, we believe, like you said, creation. Jesus was there at creation. God really did create the heavens and the earth. He still sustains it today. You know, we think of even a creation, God's design for marriage between a man and a woman. Well, that's crazy talk, you know, one man and one woman. And this, you know, the sacraments, the water saves, water combined with God's word, that, you know, that Jesus is present and bread and wine. That sounds crazy. Or the other crazy things we do, we give an offering to the church, and we do it joyfully most of the time. freely give it away.
Well, I'm not that crazy. Maybe you are.
All right. Maybe Lynn is. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and just the things that Jesus calls us to do. Turn the other cheek. Well, that's crazy. Pray for our enemies and those who persecute us. You know, and all of a sudden, wow, that sounds and looks pretty crazy, maybe. Yeah. But again, when people perhaps know the motivation of what we do, why we do, and ultimately that I would hope that we're motivated by love as well, right? A love for our Lord God and keeping his commands, a love for our neighbor, even loving our neighbor as ourself. Well, yeah, when that's the case, it might seem a little crazy, but that's our motivation. That's our mission, is love for God, love for neighbor. And sometimes we're going to maybe look a little crazy like Jesus.
Well, and I think that's the thing that the church really needs to work on to help people understand why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
It is because God has loved us in a very crazy way, giving up his life. And now we're just loving the way he loves. Because unfortunately, I think we come off as just being part of the world, which has so much negativity and no, as we talked earlier, that the criticism and the judgment and what have you. So God help us to understand, yeah, Jesus was crazy to come down and love a bunch of people like us, but he did. He did that. That was crazy. And now that's what we need to do. We just need to love people in a crazy fashion, certainly not in the way the world would love, not because you're going to do something for me. Matt, you got a few words to wrap us up here?
Yeah, definitely, John. You know, just that sacrificial nature of loving our neighbor, no matter who that neighbor is, where they're from, what they look like, what their need is. It's crazy too, right?
Yeah.
And then that gives us opportunity to hopefully put into words why we are acting crazy and to point people ultimately to Jesus. He's the motivation, the one who maybe acted a little crazy for us.
So this has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.